from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
I am so looking forward to Saturday, 9 o'clock a.m. downtown Seattle. We have the opportunity to help clean up Seattle, and I can't wait to meet some of the listeners that are going to be hanging out with us. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. I look forward to it as well, and it's supposed to be a beautiful day. So that's just going to make it that much nicer. I got to tell you, this morning I'm scrambling a little bit more than usual. You heard a conversation, or you heard one part of a conversation that I had, and we're going to have this discussion right after Heather's newscast at 9:30. It's a new feature. It may be a one and done, but it's called "What Should Ursula Have Done?"
Yeah, we are going to need audience participation.
Yes. It was the middle of the windstorm yesterday. I'm going to give you a little hint.
Okay.
I'm on Lake City.
Uh-huh.
I'm heading to Fred Meyer,
yes.
Or I think I am.
Yes.
Because we have a baby shower that we're going to be holding here after the show.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me, for some colleagues.
Yeah.
Let me get that clear. And I'm at a stoplight getting ready to get going again. And suddenly, boom, crunch, I get hit.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's what happened after that I need the help. Did I do the right thing?
Mm.
What would you have done in my situation? Yeah. And I'm still wondering if I did the right thing.
And you can hear it. You guys know Ursula. You know Ursula. So you can already bet what she did. But at 9:30, she's going to lay it out. And we're basically going to ask you, what would you do?
Yeah.
I'm going to see how many people side with me. Chef, are you and I on the same page?
Oh, no.
Oh, we're not?
Oh, yeah. No. Not at all.
Oh,
so,
this is going to be
good. So we'll see. 888-973-5476. 888-973-CAIRO.
All right. It's time to get a people with the won't. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
It is official. Patty Cole Tyndall is the new King County Sheriff. The County Council voted unanimously to make her the county's top cop. The sheriff joined our show last week and talked about the challenges that the department faces, including being short-staffed. And she also emphasized how she will hold deputies accountable if they go against the mission of the department.
We are a paramilitary organization. And as a paramilitary organization, hold people accountable for when they don't do the things that we are supposed to do. So I know that other law enforcement officers that have had people internally undermine them. And so I'm not so naive to think that that cannot happen, but I believe in positive intent, and I assume people are coming at things with that same positive intent until they prove otherwise. Like I said, we have accountability here at the sheriff's office, and we will hold people accountable if we learn that they are actively working against the mission and goals of this agency.
And she made those comments actually on our show last week, and I do want to make one correction. She is going to get recertification, she will be leading the department. Mm-hmm. She is not officially a cop. In Seattle, Mayor Bruce Harrell announced a committee of community leaders and elected officials who will be in charge of searching for a new police chief for the city. But back on March 1st, on our show, the mayor said he was pleased with interim chief Adrian Diaz.
We're going to make some announcements this month. And I will say this, that I'm enjoying a very good relationship with Chief Diaz. He's rising to the occasion that I like to see. He and I are meeting this week, a one-on-one, and we'll be making some announcements this month. We always comply with the charter responsibility of a search. I don't, break those procedures, but I am very pleased with what I'm getting out of him, and I believe he's a man of high integrity. So we'll make some announcements and let the public know our thinking here this month.
The mayor hopes to have an appointment to present to the city council for approval this fall.
Let me address Sheriff Cole Tyndall first. I think this is great. I think this is great that she is the sheriff. And here's one of the reasons as to why I believe that she's going to bring a lot to that position. At one point, she served as the county's director of labor relations and director of Office of Law Enforcement Oversight. those that experience right there alone is going to bring something different to that. And oh, by the way, the certification part, yeah, she's going to be newly fresh into learning what all of our new officers are learning now. So I do love that she's going to get that position. Congratulations to her.
Well, and I want to also point out that I thought she turned what was many perceived as a negative about this whole certification thing. She turned, I mean, that's a way you can answer a question, but you and I were skeptical.
We were.
I thought there was another candidate that seemed stronger, maybe on paper.
Yes.
But after learning a little bit more about her and then also having her on the show, hearing what she had to say, I mean, she definitely, I think the county council and the county executive did get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to please everybody. And they're going to be people who think that she was picked for, you know, XYZ reason or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But let's give her a chance. And the other thing I appreciate is that it's a bipartisan decision.
Yeah.
And the county council is showing that you can have different viewpoints, but you can come together on a decision on someone in this important of a role.
And what you're saying, and I'll say the quiet part out loud, there are people that just think that she, you know, they only got this position because they were people of color, because this is the first time
Yes.
that a person of color has had this position. A position of sheriff for which county? Dr. Martin Luther King County. I want to be clear about that. A person of color is the sheriff.
On the mayor of Seattle and the search here in the city. Okay, here's a question, though.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think it's a foregone conclusion,
mm-hmm.
including me initially.
Okay.
Now, the only reason I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's not such a foregone conclusion
Yes.
is because I'm looking at the names that are involved in this search committee.
Okay.
I hope it's not botched like the last time. I'll also point out that the city hired the same consulting firm that led the city's 2018 search, and they're going to be paying $75,000 for this. I do hope that the mayor does keep an open mind. We're going to have the mayor on the show tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
So that it's not a foregone conclusion.
Are we going to ask him about this?
100%. Yeah, it might even be the first question. But if you look at the search committee, you look at the names.
Yes.
I mean, you've got a former Seattle police chief in Jim Pugel. You have someone from the city attorney's office and the public defender's office. You have Reverend Harriet Walden with Mothers for Police Accountability, other members of different segments of the community, several city council members. I think it is what you would want from a search committee. And if they really truly do their work and the mayor truly listens, then maybe it's not a foregone conclusion. Or maybe it turns out that Interim Chief Adrian Diaz is the best candidate.
What did Mayor Bruce Harrell say about working with Chief Diaz? He said he was very satisfied with that.
He did. Now, I will tell you from folks internally, that's one of the things that they worry about. They don't want a police chief that's only going to say yes, yes, yes to the mayor. They want a police chief who's also going to have the back of the police department.
No matter who you hire, there's going to be someone that is not happy anyways.
Oh, 100%.
Also, no matter what, I tell you what I would like to see. I would actually like to see real accountability that happens within police agencies. I don't care who you hire. I'm looking forward to that day. More importantly with this, I can't say that I've ever been on a search for anybody's job because I've never been. You have.
Mm-hmm.
But I can only tell you what I saw here, right? And what happened was is they went to go do this wide search to find someone, and the actual search and the person that they needed was actually right here in the building, who happens to be our boss right now. Could have had a chance to hire him earlier on, but nobody did. Now you hired him, things going well. Sometimes the grass ain't always green on the other side. You know they say the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. So maybe Chief Diaz is the right person for the job. I've seen it happen.
Yeah,
would you agree with me?
Yeah,
why you get all uncomfortable?
Yeah, because I know part of this is being facetious. However, I hope that there is an open mind. I hope it's not something that has already been decided, because I also know that happens quite a bit, that you've already made up your mind, but you're just going to go through the
motions. What percentage of jobs are already decided, in your opinion?
I have no idea.
You know, I know you're not making a sweeping statement, but you have hired, you have been in this process. Out of 10 hires, what percent do you believe are already, like, we know who the person, we know the person
who's
going to get the
job? More than 50%.
Okay. Yeah. I believe you there.
In my experience.
In your experience?
Yes.
I'll say 75.
Kirkland residents who don't want a former La Quinta hotel to become a homeless shelter gave the city council an earful during a meeting this week.
I support finding solutions for the homeless in Kirkland, but not next to a school. Will you allow drug users? Will you allow sex offenders?
Another resident argued that the city needs to show more proof that this shelter is not going to be putting the community in danger.
Where is the proof at other locations in our state, around the country, that a low barrier facility has worked next to schools? The parents of Kirkland deserve proof.
But others say this hysteria surrounding the plans just gone too far.
There's a lot of comments that are being thrown out there that are stereotyping and discriminatory. They're not going to put sex offenders in there. They're not going to put drug addicts in there.
The former hotel is next to 520. It's on the south edge of Kirkland, and King County has already purchased 9 other former hotels in Auburn, Federal Way, North Seattle, Pioneer Square, Queen Anne, Redmond, and Renton. So it's not just picking on Kirkland. It's a regional situation that needs a regional solution.
I'm going to keep it a buck with you.
Uh-huh.
Now, usually this would be a time that I would lash out at what those Kirkland parents are saying. Not this morning. They need to find another place. It's not going to work. Not next to a school. I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. You're going to have to find another place. Now, you can still find it in Kirkland. You got to find somewhere in Kirkland. I don't know, Ursula. You just can't do it next to a school.
Okay.
There's just too much. Go ahead.
I agree. No, I wanted to make sure you
finished. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I agree, but here's the problem.
Okay. What's the problem?
Very few places are not close to schools. Unless you find some available industrial.
How close is that? I mean, Ursula.
Yes.
That's not a block away from the school. How close is that to the school? That's right through the bushes.
Yeah.
Right through the bushes. Little ways right there. You could reach out and touch someone.
How far is appropriate?
I mean, a block, half block? It's right next to the school.
But who do you think is going in there? I mean, I get it.
I'm empathetic towards the homeless now.
Yeah, but at what point do you say, well, there's no spots? You know, one of them is North Seattle. I live in North Seattle. Should I be fighting it? Should someone in Queen Anne be fighting it? Should Federal Way fight it? Should Renton fight it? If not this place, then where? And I know, Chef?
I don't know. I'm just like desperately searching for the sound of some fish flip-flopping out of water, because that's what I'm hearing from you this morning.
Yes.
Thank you, G.
You know what?
Yes.
The kids' argument suddenly broke through.
Yes.
Look, I understand there's a desire to shield our children from reality, but this is not about public safety. This is about, I don't want my kids to have to see that. They see this stuff anyways. You cannot use the excuse that, hey, there are kids nearby as an opportunity to block anything. Well, what about the spotted lawn dart? Or what about the spotted owl? There might be a nesting habitat in that tree, so we can't locate a homeless shelter near. Come on, man.
Y'all can be mad at me all you want to.
No,
I'm telling
people are going to love what you said.
No, I'm saying what I'm saying. Look, next to a school. It's right through the bushes. There's a little area. You just do. Right there,
would you say
right there.
There's a difference between tents.
Yes.
And no supervision.
Yes.
Right next to a school. And a hotel and a city that is promising that they're going to be working with the community to develop what is commonly known as a good neighbor agreement.
Okay.
So they're going to be talking about establishing guidelines for security, crime prevention, shelter intake processes. They're going to beef up police patrols and provide resources. So, again.
You about to make me pull out my ace of spade right now, Ursula.
Go ahead.
Both our kids went to private school. And what I mean by that is this. Sometimes people choose. What kind of school is that? Is that a public school or private school?
I don't know.
It's
private,
it's
I believe.
It's a private school. No, yeah, okay. I know that. It's a private school. So my point is this. As parents, like let's put all the bureaucracy away, all the politics. Let's keep it a buck. As parents, we choose to put our kids in a situation that we believe is best for us. I ain't speaking on any other parent. I'm saying that some parents are going to be like, I have a choice. This school right here or this other school right here.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me that enrollment won't drop at that school.
Why should we care about the concerns of a private business, which a private school is, over the concerns of the general public in the homelessness emergency?
I'm not telling you I care. I'm telling y'all that I would not send my kid to school there.
Yeah, no,
I'm not caring about nobody
else. I hear you. And guess what? And here's the difference.
Okay, what you got?
Okay, two. Because I used to be this parent who said, not in my backyard. Do not put it in my backyard. I also used to be the parent, or not parent, homeowner that said, I don't want duplexes and triplexes in my neighborhood because it's going to change the character of my neighborhood.
Fair.
What I am recognizing is my stance on these things has not helped with any of these situations.
Fair.
That's what I'm recognizing. So, yes, I could easily say, you know what? The popular opinion is no one wants any of these things near their place. I get it.
And you know what? I commend you because recently you have talked about that. You've come around on that. And I praise you. I'm just saying, don't you think there's a difference from where, like, living situation in the school? Don't you think there's a little bit of a difference, Ursula? Can you meet me halfway on this point school?
Well, I can say there's a difference between a school, homes. You know, there are so many reasons why you don't want to have this. But again, if we say no to all of them, then we have no leg to stand on when we say, well, we'd also think that this homeless crisis is going to continue and we're not offering any other solutions.
I do think they need to offer other solutions, Ursula. I do that. I do. But I'm just telling you, and maybe, Chef, you're right. Yeah, maybe the school thing did break through finally, because earlier on, I was different on this opinion. I'm just telling you, the way it hit me right now, it's hit me in sand, not next to the school. I'm just we have school zones. You can't have a gun near a school. There's so many rules that we've had for schools over the years. Are we going to start changing that now?
Well, we'll see. We'll see, G. I mean, you did have an epiphany as of the last half hour.
You can't locate a pot shop next to a school, right? Is that stopping weed from being sold on campus?
I just remembered it just used to be different rules when it comes to schools. If we want to start changing, that's cool.
And again, I mean, aren't you the advocate to say all these different rules in the past have brought us to where we are today?
Yes.
It's really funny how suddenly I'm seeing the light and suddenly you've had a change of heart. What has happened? What are you drinking?
I don't know.
Okay. Still ahead.
All right.
And again, I understand concerns. I'm not trying to make light of anything. If I felt like something is going to be put next to my child's school and it's going to be anything goes and crime's going to go up and my kids are in danger, I'd be fighting it as well. So don't be.
One last point. And I heard that gentleman say it in there. Where's a place that Kirkland Hotel could model another place here? The place on Grady Way in Renton, where is a hotel that has done a good job that can mirror what they've done? And I think that one of the gentlemen was asking that. Give us an example. Show us the data. Show us what you have seen and or done. And I think if anybody can, if you text in, if y'all mad at me, that's cool. But show me the place that's done it well.
No. People will love you.
I don't need anybody to love them. They usually love you. That's the difference. Coming up next, what should Ursula have done? Find out what happened to her on Lake City Way. It's Gene Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. Boy, our text line is blowing up right now.
Ursula, you couldn't even look at me during the break.
I can't.
You know,
because suddenly you have this epiphany, like mid headline.
I know.
And I'm thinking, what exactly happened to you?
You know what happened? I was watching Rocky IV, and remember this part right here?
If I can change, and you can change, everybody can change.
Well, my, looks like you changed and so did I, because I used to be the neighbor that said, not next to me, please. Anyway.
In all of our 2.5 years, that was the most awkward break, and we've had some discussions. Ursula just kept looking at me like, I just can't believe you right now. Can't even look at you.
You know what? But you're getting all sorts of love from my listeners. So,
all right.
Anyway,
let's talk about you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, yesterday, in the middle of the windstorm, and boy, was that crazy yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving to Lake City, Fred Meyer. So I'm on Lake City Way, which of course is very busy, and I'm at the red light, and it turns green, and I'm about to go, and suddenly, bam, crunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back and I'm thinking, okay, first of all, I'm in the middle lane. So it's like, okay, this is the worst. But I stop because I'm like, I can tell there's damage.
Right.
Right. I'm okay, but I can tell there's damage. I seized up a bit, but I could tell it's just the back of my car is not going to be good. I get out. It's a young man. He's got his girlfriend in the car.
Okay.
And, you know, he's very apologetic. And I'm thinking, okay, we're going to pull over. We pull over. We look at it. I exchange, you know, I ask him for the information, and he's kind of freaking out a little bit.
Okay.
And then he says, well, this is not my car. Okay. And I'm thinking, okay, well, take a look in he's young. It turns out, I think he's 16 or 17. So I say, okay, look in your glove compartment. Maybe do you have insurance information? Looks in there. I don't have insurance information. He calls his dad. And apparently he has no driver's license, but he says he has a permit. Okay, say, first of all, I'm giving him a lecture at this point, and then I say, okay, give me a copy of your permit. I got to get information.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, I don't have my permit. It's at my home. He said, I live really close by, though, so you can, you know, if you can follow me, I'll get it for you. So I'm thinking, okay, if it were anyone else, I'm not following someone
right
to their house. And I'm in the whole time I'm thinking, should I be calling police?
Why did you decide to follow?
Well, for one thing, because I wanted him a chance to show me his driver's information.
Okay.
The second thing is I'm thinking, well, at least I know where his house is.
Okay.
And because right now in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to call police because right now I could end up ruining his life.
Right.
Or at least throwing him in a trajectory that it's not going to be good, because this is a guy who is driving illegally, essentially. He doesn't have even a permit. It turns out when he shows me his permit, when we get to his house, it's been expired for 6 months. So he has no driver's license,
no insurance,
not even a driver's permit.
Wow.
And he's bumped somebody. And so, you know, he said, you know, he talked to his dad, and he gave me his dad's number. He gave me his number. And so I am just debating back and forth whether I did the right thing, because I didn't want to
mess him up. Right.
Because, you know, then he loses his license. He was on his way to work. Okay. Oh, I didn't bring this up, too.
Okay.
He had a passenger with him. So that's another thing. So he would have been nailed for so many different things.
Right.
Right. Which mm-hmm. would have been very costly. Which would probably have, you know, made it hard for him to get a driver's
license.
Probably
delayed by 2 years.
It would have, you know, hurt. He's at he goes to a local high school.
Okay.
So it just would have been a lot of things. And in my heart, my mom heart,
okay,
I'm split between, I don't want to ruin him,
mm-hmm.
but on the other hand, I also want him to learn a lesson, like do something. And then, as you heard, his father called this morning, because I hadn't heard from his dad.
Right.
Other than a text message saying, I'll get back to you. And so I showed you I asked you to come take a look at the damage.
I came and looked at the damage, and I told you, what did I tell you?
You said, this is going to need to be replaced, and this is going to need to be replaced. Because you thought,
I thought it was going to be simple. I thought it was going to be something I could go get some solvent from my house, come back, and I'd be able to wipe it off.
But
when I saw it, no.
Yeah, there's like
divots.
Divots, scrapes, all that kind of stuff. And my car is not brand new, but it's still in good shape. So it's going to cost me several thousand dollars, probably, if I get it professionally done. So what I had told the family is that this. I said, I'm going to get a couple estimates for you, and I'm going to try to find the lowest price possible to get it fixed. Right. And I'm just counting on you guys to do it. And I lectured both the dad and the son, would you please make sure that your son doesn't drive? And what was kind of dismaying to me was that the dad was arguing why his son needs to keep going to work and it's expensive and it costs $1,000 to get this, that, and the other thing. I'm thinking $1,000 to get him to be legal is going to be way less. If what if I were seriously injured? What if my car was totaled?
So the question now is,
did I do the right thing?
Did Ursula do the right thing? Text in 888-973-CHIRO is the state roofing text line. Chef, what you got, bro?
Absolutely, you did the right thing. There is no reason to get the police involved for minor bumper damage. In fact, the whole premise that you have to replace your bumper when it gets a scratch is ludicrous.
Well,
you have
you say
grace
that as someone,
in your heart.
Yeah, I do have grace in my heart. Go ahead.
You did the right thing. There, you know what? This kid is going to remember this forever, I guarantee you. This is a lesson for him. He still has to pay for it. I see no problem.
I'm going. You know what? I don't know what is going on today. I do not want to give my opinion on this.
Okay, wait.
No,
why?
No. Because
you would have called police. You told me you would have called police.
I would have called the police. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely, I'm calling the police. You want to know why? Because I don't want to come to work stressed out whether or not things are going to be done the right way. Now I feel awful today because for some reason this entire 9 o'clock hour has had, I don't know who I am today.
There were a couple things that came to mind too. My son bumped into somebody.
Yes.
And that person also showed grace and said, you know what, let's just try to, you know, handle it without impacting your insurance, et cetera, et cetera. So that was one thing. The other thing, I was like, do I really want to call police and wait here now for 3 hours before someone maybe comes by? This is not going to be a top priority.
Oh, it wasn't grace. It was a lack of patience.
No.
And I got stuff to do.
No. Well, I mean, it truly was. I mean, I was telling him, I was acting like I was his mom.
Well, I'm going to end this segment off by saying this. I'm afraid I might say law and order.
You have something in your coffee today. That's it.
He's fired up.
Hey, coming up next, we need to talk what to do when you forget someone's name. It's Gene Ursula. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. Tomorrow is Fresh Fridays coming up at 10 o'clock. We have Michael Medved is going to join the show today. Reason why is because we have the mayor, Bruce Harrell, joining us tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So Michael Medved joins us at 10 o'clock. But right now, here's the deal. Knowing names. When do you forget names, and what do you do if you do forget a name? Both Ursula and I both admit that we are no good when it comes to remembering names. This Business Insider had some good ideas for you. Ursula, tell me what grabs out at you. One of the ideas is ask them to put their number in your phone. I don't like that one. Ask for their email address. I don't like that one either. Introduce them to a friend. That's probably the best one, is introducing them to someone else. Wait until the conversation ends and ask a friend. Ask them how to spell their name or their preferred nickname. Hey,
yeah, that only
that's
works.
A good one.
Yeah, that only works if the name isn't something like Lisa.
Hey, Ted, how do you spell your name?
Yeah, that's
can you remind me how to spell your name? T-E-D.
Ending the conversation by telling them your name. Ask about the meaning. No, it says ask about the meaning behind their name. If their name's Ted or Lisa, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? and then just be honest. Ursula, I think that's yours.
Yeah, I think the last one needs to be, I might be having early onset of I don't know what.
Talk bad about yourself.
There is a real thing. I've looked it up. There is a thing when you forget names specifically.
You really looked it up, Ursula?
I did, because it is something that is so universal.
Yeah.
No, there really is. Chef, can you look it up? I can't remember. There is a name for it. And what
getting
ends up,
older?
No. See, now, and I don't want to do ages.
No, because, I know. No, I will say, there is, you said something this morning, Ursula. Me, when I get ready to, let's just say I have a friend come over and I have other people that's already over. When I get ready to introduce this person, I used to get freak out and panic a little bit. Now I say, hey, everyone, this is Billy. Billy, this is everyone. Because this whole, hey, this is, and you have a little quick panic when you don't know the name of that person,
yes,
even though you should know that name.
Yes.
What's it called?
Exactly.
Nominal aphasia.
That's it.
Y'all doing research on this topic?
Yeah. Well, no, but I've looked it up before because it's happened, and it's what's really bad is when you forget a name that you should know really well, like someone you see quite often, and then it's just a you get a blank,
mm-hmm,
and then you get kind of anxiety over it,
mm-hmm,
and then you really go blank.
Right.
And then it gets awkward. And I've done everything from, hey, this is like, I almost just did it here.
With Charles.
Yeah, with Charles. Yes, with Charles, and it was Katrina's name.
Katrina.
And you played
the Katrina.
Yes.
See?
And I'm like, hello, we're throwing a baby shower for Katrina. But at that moment, I was like, Charles, this is... Okay, and someone can say, well, it's because you're in your 50s. No, I don't think that's what it is. But some people are amazing at names. Yeah. I am really, really good at remembering phone numbers. I can remember... like the Seattle Fire Department's phone number from 25 years ago when I used to call it. I'm really good at remembering phone numbers, and I'm also really good at remembering details of someone's story that they shared with me or moments that we had together. But the name, I don't know what it is.
Is that how you was able to tell me flip-flopping?
Yeah.
Chef, I think it's age, bruh. Because when I was younger, I was way better.
The older I get,
the worse I get. I think the best answer to this is, hey, I'm sorry.
Exactly.
What was your name again? I think that's the best way. Don't get all weird and all these fancy stuff.
My name is Tina. I'm your sister.
Well, for some of us, the only answer is just to avoid any social contact with that person whatsoever.
Yeah. Coming up next.
Oh, no.
Michael Medved will join the show, and you know how we do. We'll ask a few questions, some important questions, and just ask how Michael's doing overall. It's Gene Ursula. We'll be right back.